This is West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Radio. I'm Beth Voorhees. Kanawha County's emergency coordinator wants the public to know that heroin is a problem throughout the county. Dave Mistich reports.
Matthew Thomas is using Twitter to publicize drug overdoses in the county, including heroin. He gets notifications on his phone whenever Kanawha County Metro 911 receives an overdose call. He then tweets the overdose's location from the Kanawha County Heroin Eradication Associated Task Force Twitter account.
I think when this started, it was mostly just local law enforcement sharing information, and then they, I think, developed that there was just a trend in the area that said, hey, you know, we're seeing a lot of crimes. Not only are we seeing overdoses, but we're also seeing crimes that we believe are associated with that goes along with heroin being in an area. So we wanted to make sure that we could find some sort of platform to be able to let the residents know and be aware of what's going on.
Since July 29th, Thomas has tweeted about 50 overdoses in the county and says the majority of them are heroin related. He says overdoses and heroin use seems to be widespread across the county.
We have our county, I guess, for emergency management purposes, geographically located, I think, in 5 different areas and then 4 different areas within the city of Charleston. And I know that I've seen at least one in each part of the county. So that would be east, you know, that would be Marmette area, west, St. Albans area, Clinton and all that stuff. So we it's been fairly widespread.
Thomas says the goal is to engage the public through social media and hopes to encourage them to use the task force's anonymous tip line. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Dave Mistich in Charleston.
What's next, West Virginia? That's the question that keeps getting thrown around the state. Conversations are going on all over, exploring what West Virginians want to see happen next in their economy. A workshop is being held in Wheeling next week. Glennis Board reports.
What's next, West Virginia? That's the question that keeps getting thrown around the state. Conversations are going on all over, exploring what West Virginians want to see happen next in their economy. A workshop is being held in Wheeling next week. What's Next West Virginia is a nonpartisan statewide initiative organized by a coalition of partners, including West Virginia Public Broadcasting. The idea is to encourage talk of strengthening local economies. A lot of these kinds of conversations have been happening in the Northern Panhandle already.
Yeah, through our Reinvent Wheeling organization, our downtown group, we've been hosting these roundtables.
That's Jeremy Morris, executive director of the Wheeling National Heritage Corporation.
We have an arts roundtable. We also have a green and sustainability roundtable that meet each month. And they're having these kind of conversations about how do we create green sustainable businesses? How do we improve the livelihood and economic viability of working artists in the community?
Morris says there's a lot of young energy in Wheeling, people who are invested in revitalizing their historic town. He says the What's Next workshop is a good fit. It's designed to connect initiatives that are already happening. Organizers will get together and discuss how to bring more people into the conversation.
I think this is a great opportunity to share ideas and have a conversation about the economic future of our state.
The free workshop will be held downtown at the West Banco Arena next Wednesday, September 16th. Registration is required. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown. You can find out more about the What's Next initiative, including how to register for the workshop in Wheeling, on our webpage, wvpublic.org.
Governor Domlin is planning administrative fixes instead of a special session to adjust a law regulating above-ground storage tanks. Domlin spokesman Chris Stadelman says the governor won't call a special session, as legislative leaders had urged. Lawmakers are already in Charleston this week for interim committee meetings. Stadelman says the administration plans to put a higher priority on inspections for tanks near water supplies. He says tanks holding hazardous materials will also take priority. House Speaker Tim Miley and Senate President Jeff Kessler said a January 1st deadline for tank inspections in the law is unattainable. The law reacts to a January chemical spill that contaminated tap water in Charleston and surrounding counties for days. Analyzing water is a complicated business. It could contain any number of pollutants and require a variety of regulations to clean it up. But the state of Virginia is using a simpler approach, letting nature determine water quality and asking citizens to help. Sandy Hausman reports from WVTF.
On a sunny weekday afternoon, four people arrive at a one-lane bridge northeast of Charlottesville, unpacking a car loaded with mysterious gear. Nets, gloves, and waders, a table and chairs. They could easily be mistaken for picnickers. In fact, they're on a more serious mission.
Today we're looking for benthic macroinvertebrates, which are insects that live at the bottom of the stream.
Ann Dunkel is the monitoring program manager for Streamwatch, a group of citizens specially trained to Department of Environmental Quality Standards. They gather information at 45 sites in the Rivanna River Basin.
You worry about runoff from farms, fertilizer, or from livestock.
Dot Price is a master naturalist, tested by the DEQ to assure the accuracy of the data she'll gather today at Mechunk Creek. Some bug larvae are highly sensitive to pollutants, she says, so their presence will signal a healthy stream.
By seeing what kind of bugs we have, DEQ can then make a rating as to the health of the stream.
And if the stream's in trouble, the department can impose regulations on neighbors to limit additional pollution.
All right, let's rock and roll.
Price and Dunkel join Zach Del Gresso and Marilyn Smith in wading through the stream, stopping at a shallow spot, stirring up the bottom for a few seconds, then scooping it into a net.
Set, go. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000.
The contents are then dumped onto the table where the team will look for and identify larvae.
This is a helgamite right there.
It's the larva of the Dobson fly.
And they have these large claw-like pinchers that they have at the end of it. The kids love them.
They'll fill water bottles and spray the tiny creatures to keep them cool and wet. It takes keen eyesight, patience, and a thorough knowledge of things that live in Virginia streams.
Mayflies, stoneflies, caddisflies, beetles, some true flies. Mm-hmm. And then within those orders, we have flatheads, spiny crawlers, small minnows.
But in addition to that, there's clams and snails and worms.
On a day like this, it's delightful work. But Del Gresso admits it can be dangerous.
Slippery rocks, that's the one thing. It'll surprise you, and then you'll just look like very uncoordinated for a second.
Volunteers may also encounter nosy neighbors.
Cows are always interested in what you're doing.
But the people who pass by often say thanks. They appreciate the stewardship of stream watchers. And Marilyn Smith believes the group has done some good.
You know, this is 10 years of data that's helping to frame what's going on. And even though the water quality hasn't improved that much, a lot more development's gone on. So hopefully it's doing some good and just raising people's awareness.
Price invites anyone with at least a dozen free hours a year to consider signing up for the sake of clean water and for their own good.
I like learning stuff. It's really interesting at my age to have to learn insects, entomology. This is not something I ever thought I would be doing. And it's hard. It really works my brain, which is good.
And for those who are too busy to go wading in Rivanna streams, Smith says the public can help by picking up after pets, withholding fertilizer, herbicides, and pesticides from lawns, and properly disposing of oil and chemicals. I'm Sandy Hausman.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:44. Some fog this morning, partly cloudy today, some scattered rains possible. Temperatures in the 70s and 80s. There's a chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 50s and 60s. Partly sunny on Wednesday, highs remaining in the 70s and 80s. Rain and thunderstorms back in the forecast Wednesday night and Thursday.
There is a vehicle fire on northbound I-79 at mile marker 115 south of Clarksburg. Two of two northbound lanes are closed. Please use caution if you're traveling in this area. Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Bowles Rice, a local full-service law firm representing businesses and individuals in our region since 1920.
Janice Summers Young is one of two West Virginia artists who were selected for a new exhibit at the Museum of the Shenandoah Valley in Winchester, Virginia. The exhibit, called Second Time Around, The Hubcap as Art, features 287 artists from 36 countries and opened this week. Roxy Todd visited Young's studio to talk about using materials from the forest, river, and even the trash to make art.
These are all experimental. I don't know, you know, how, where it's going, but I like to experiment.
Janice Summers Young lives in the community of Queen Shoals, about a mile from the Elk River, right on the line between Kanawha and Clay counties. On weekdays, she and her husband, Terry, work for their construction business. Most weekends, they spend hiking, camping, and collecting materials that Young uses in collages that are on display throughout their home.
I've always loved art, and I've always done some form of art and tried to make my whole life a kind of art.
When Young and her husband began to build their house, they discovered fossils in the rocks that they dug out of the dirt. So they decided to use the fossilized stones to build the exterior of their home.
The area had been coal mined quite a bit some years back. We started building our house here. We started hand-picking our stones from where we had dug here, the excavation, the stones we turned up, and also stones along the creek bank because they're rich in fossils. And I also wanted it to look like this house fit here.
Her art, like her home, also includes objects from nature, from wasp nests that are preserved with porcelain to pieces of driftwood that are constructed into circular collages. These are inspired by whirlpools she finds in rivers.
I have been picking up driftwood pieces and turning them into collages. One rainy day when the rain had fallen on all those tiny pieces and all the collars had lit up in them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these are beautiful. So the most whirlpools I've seen are on New River. That's my favorite river.
Her work drew the attention of artist Ken Marquis, founder of the Landfill Arts Project. He invited Young to submit a piece of art for the exhibit that opened on September 7th. Over 1,000 artists from around the world were given a hubcap. Each of them repurposed their hubcap in their own way. Young was one of a few hundred artists whose piece was selected for the exhibit.
When I got the hubcap, that's the first thing that entered my mind, was a driftwood piece inside the hubcap. I've seen so many tires and hubcaps in the river, and I watched them pop off the car and roll down the hill and land in the river. And there's the swirl holes where the whirlpools land stuff, and they're circular, and they'll have little bits of wood or stones collected inside of them.
What one person might consider trash, artists like Janice Young see as materials that can be used to create.
I thought it was a really, really neat project that's going to have that many people from all around participating in something that I'm passionate about, you know, just not wasting so much and trying to reuse as much as possible. No, we can't all be environmental saints, but if any little thing that we can do, all adds up eventually.
Young says she doesn't consider herself an environmentalist, but as a West Virginian artist, she does feel inspired by the delicate beauty of the mountains and the rivers. She thinks it's a beauty that is often abused. When she sees trash in the river, she picks it up and tries to turn it into art. Now, that art will be on display in the Museum of the Shenandoah Valley, surrounded by the works of artists from across the world. All 287 of them are tied together by their willingness to create out of the waste that most people call trash. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Roxy Todd in Queen Shoals, West Virginia.
Young and another West Virginia artist, Romney Shelton Collins, will both have their hubcap art on display at the Museum of the Shenandoah Valley in Winchester, Virginia through next March. And you can see photos from the exhibit on our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.